This morning's reading is from Daniel chapter 3, reading from verse 16. In the previous part of the reading, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego have been brought before Nebuchadnezzar because they have not bowed down to his golden idol that he's created. So from verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated seven times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command, and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Let's pray. We pray with King David and ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Amen. During the Second World War, there was a group of camouflage experts working in North Africa. They were known as the Magic Gang. Their job was to work to deceive the enemy through illusion, misdirection, and sleight of hand. They had all been recruited for their skills in camouflage and stage magic. So they created dummy tanks and even a fake battleship. 2,000 dummy tanks were used during the Battle of El Alamein, and was seen as a key contribution to the deception which led eventually to victory. Much of what this specialist group did is still shrouded in mystery, which somehow seems rather appropriate. However, other illusions credited to them include the use of light illusion to make the city of Alexandria and also the Suez Canal disappear. Now that's no mean feat. Daniel 3 presents us with a truly dramatic story, but can it be real? If something like it did happen, and maybe for you that's a big if, then could it have all been nothing more than some sort of illusion? Is the Bible pushing the boundaries of credibility in expecting us to believe what we've just read? Well, it wasn't some illusion. It wasn't a deception. For a start, the furnace is so hot that the poor soldiers ordered to dispatch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the flames are burnt alive just by going near. And their fate is not surprising when we read that the king gave instructions that the furnace be heated to 7 times what it was normally. So let's pause and recap a bit on where we've got to. As Chris was sharing at the beginning of that reading, the king of Babylon has commissioned a 90-foot high, 9-foot wide golden statue that they must worship, arguably to exalt himself. He has decreed that everyone, regardless, is to worship this idol. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will only worship the one true and living God of Israel. They know that they are to worship no other gods. They know not even to go along with it and do whatever the religious equivalent is of crossing your fingers. In other words, play along and don't mean it, just keep quiet. And yet, here are these three young men in a foreign land, willing to take a stand, willing to honour the Lord. So that's what I want us to consider this morning as we look at some of these verses that we've just read. Maybe it's a familiar story to you. For those of you for whom it's not, I hope they're sort of picking it up of what's going on here. Because the first thing I want us to see from the passage that we've read this morning is not alone in the fire. Not alone in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not compromise. They will not bow down and worship. And therefore, the threat is carried out and they are put into the fiery furnace. You see, this is not just a challenge between the king of Babylon and three young Hebrew men who's going to win. This is a challenge to the almighty, sovereign creator of the universe. We read this in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Back in verse 15 of our chapter here in Daniel, the king declares that if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And he then sets out the challenge when he says this. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? How would we respond to that challenge? would we still be confident to stand our ground? Is God able to deliver us? The response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to this threat is found for us in verses 17 and 18. We looked at them last Sunday, where they say this: if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. That's faith. It's not doubt. It is a recognition that God doesn't change. His purposes are always true and always good. It's as though they're saying out loud, look, we can't lose. So who is going to win this standoff? Nebuchadnezzar is powerful. He is known by the title King of Kings. But of course he's not. It is the Almighty God who is King of Kings. See the anger spewing out from Nebuchadnezzar. He's out of control. But he demonstrates his position, he demonstrates his power by having these men executed in a furnace that, as we said, is heated 7 times its normal temperature. You know, Christians around the world today are standing up for their faith, often at great risk, at great danger to themselves. We are told that more than 380 million Christians face persecution and discrimination because they love Jesus. On record, in the House of Commons Library in Westminster, is information that in the year 2024, 4,998 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. Notice the detail that we're given here in Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are wearing their clothes, they're wearing hats, they're wearing other garments. Why do we need to know that? But all these would have been flammable, would speed up the process. Indeed, everything was done to make sure that these three Hebrew men were quickly and completely destroyed. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Remember that those throwing them into the fire are burnt alive themselves due to the sheer heat. But what about the three who are meant to be destroyed? Amazingly, they are walking around in the furnace, seemingly untouched, seemingly unaffected by the flames, the smoke, the heat. Impossible. You'd think so. Is this a trick? Is this some illusion? No. But look, if we haven't already seen a miracle, then look again. The king did. Because there's a fourth man in there, walking in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king has no doubt about this. This is real. What are we to make of this? How are we supposed to explain it? Well, the king describes the appearance of this fourth person as being like, I quote, a son of the gods. But what does that mean? Well, the king, it seems, assumes that in that fiery furnace is someone divine. Nebuchadnezzar recognizes a supernatural spiritual being that he would equate with an angel. Actually, he nearly gets it right. Who is this angel God has sent? In verse 28. You see, the fourth man is not a son of the gods. Rather, he is the Son of God. This is the pre-incarnate Jesus. But how can that be? Christmas is still 600 years away. Mind you, there's sure to be a shop somewhere that's got their cards out. The Bible is clear that the Son of God appeared on earth in human form on a number of occasions, long before he came in human flesh that first Christmas. Often he is described in the Bible as the angel of the Lord or the angel. Examples include the angel of the Lord at the burning bush in Exodus 3, the visit to Abraham of the three men in Genesis chapter 18, and the commander of the army of the Lord who appears to Joshua in Joshua chapter 5. The point is this, that God is with him, with them. We have the Lord Jesus Christ walking in the flames with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus is literally with them in the worst of their trial. That is remarkable. And you know, it assures us today that in the trials, we are not alone. God has promised to be with us. Remember how Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 28:20, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It doesn't automatically release us from having the trial, but we're not alone. Not alone in the fire, but secondly, not abandoned to the flames. Our final song will include these words: "You have carried us through the raging sea. In the fire and flood, we stand redeemed. Through the storms of life, you will not let go. This our confidence that our anchor holds." That is our confidence this morning. We stand redeemed. What a position in which to stand. What an identity to be given. Will not be let go. That's the promise. And so I just want to ask this morning, can you say that you stand redeemed? Can you say this morning that your sin is forgiven? That Christ Jesus died on the cross to take your sin on himself? Have you come to that cross, as it were? Have you admitted your guilt and received that grace of forgiveness and life? You can come. You can come now. James Packer wrote about the six things that the Christian can declare about his or her identity. He says this, the six things: I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one step nearer. My Saviour is my brother. Every Christian is my brother too. That's our identity. And whatever happens around us, that identity stays. We are children of God. saved at the cross of Jesus Christ. He will not let us go. James Packer goes on to urge that we should take these truths and, I quote, say it over and over to yourself first thing in the morning, last thing at night, as you wait for the bus, any time your mind is free, and ask that you may be enabled to live as one who knows it is all utterly and completely true. That's the confidence of the believer. Now we have confidence when the flames beckon. What does that mean that I will always... Well, does that mean... Here's the question. Does that mean that I will always be saved from the flames? Will it always mean, now I'm a Christian, that I'll be saved from that illness? I won't have to go through that loss. I won't have to endure that heartache or to have that false accusation made against me. Does that mean that none of those things will happen because I am a child of God? I'm saved by grace. Well, God can do that, all of those things. And God can do all things because we see that in our account this morning in Daniel 3. But what you probably already know is that we don't always get saved from those things. You see, whether he does or whether he doesn't is to do with his perfect will and purpose. And it's because of that that I don't always understand why that happens, these things happen. But what I do know, what is certain, is that he'll be with us in the furnace. One writer puts it like this: if the three had compromised, they would never have had the privilege of walking with Christ in the furnace's flames. By refusing to sin, they had an experience unique in the pages of the Old Testament. Isaiah 43 opens with these words: fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego quickly learn that they are not going to be saved from the fire. However, they are saved in the fire. We're not going to be exempt from troubles in this world, even from opposition, maybe even persecution. We won't always be saved from the fire, but we are saved in that fire, in the sense that Jesus is with us and will bring us through, either through to glory in his presence or out of the other side of the suffering. Remember King David's words in Psalm 23, verse 4, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Maybe you're in the valley, because sometimes dark is the valley. Maybe you feel you're in the fiery furnace. But as we will sing shortly, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Just look at the verses which bring us towards the end of chapter 3 in Daniel. At the end of the day, the talk is not about the 90-foot golden image. It's about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar is forced to concede that God is to be praised, that there is no other God like the one true God. Only he can rescue. And that acknowledgement from the king is quite an admission, isn't it? From the one who had set up that golden image, the one who considers himself all-powerful, and yet has to acknowledge who God is. What fascinates me is the thought process of King Nebuchadnezzar. You see, when he tells the three, or maybe four, to come out of the furnace, he now addresses them as servants of the Most High God. Something has changed his mind, but will it change his life? This is no magic trick. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk out of the flames that should have reduced them to nothing. No illusion, no misdirection. Not only do they walk out, but they are unmarked. Their clothing is not even scorched. There is no smell of fire or smoke on them at all. The only thing that they lost in those flames were the ropes which had bound them. Nebuchadnezzar believes what had happened. This is no deception. And the only thing that the king can do is to give praise to God. Verse 28, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted in him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Wow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego surrender themselves completely to God, body, soul, and spirit. You know, this is the last time we read about these three men. But what a story. The Lord brings them through the fire. And he'll bring us through too, with Jesus in the fire. Not alone in the fire, not abandoned to the flames. We sung earlier, by faith our fathers roamed the earth with the power of his promise in their hearts. They looked forward to what was to come. They lived by faith, so are we to live by faith. There are times when dark, dark is the valley, but also bright, bright are the treasures that life may offer to me, but whatever the pleasure, my God is all I need. May that be our experience, our confidence, even through the tough times, even through the fire. We're not alone. We're not abandoned. And to him be all the glory. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning that we have these wonderful truths into scriptures that exalt you, but encourage our hearts as well. And Lord, for some of us, we're feeling perhaps that we're going through the valley or we're in the furnace. May we just be encouraged and blessed this morning to know that we're not alone. And would you guide us? Would you bring us out of it or bring us through it? And Lord, help us to trust you more and more each day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.